Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Couldn't be a more exciting time in franchising than right now, just days ahead of the IFA's 53rd annual convention at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. Franchise executives far and wide from foreign and countries, international markets, as well as the United States, will be converging on Las Vegas for 4 or 5 days of just absolute great information sharing, networking, and just great event. And certainly, I look forward to seeing everybody out there. Today, on Franchise Today, my guest is IFA President and CEO Steve Caldera. As part of the show's Voice of Franchising series, Steve and I will be discussing IFA's 2013 policy agenda and also looking to hear some of Steve's insight into the economic future of franchising. In addition, of course, as we just mentioned, the IFA's 53rd annual convention, looking forward to a couple of highlights from Steve regarding the upcoming event. In addition, I also like to speak a little bit about the upcoming shows on Franchise Today. Certainly, I want to thank Nick Powell from 1851 Magazine and No Limit Agency, who was my guest on a special event of Franchise Today just a couple of days ago. It was really a great event. We're looking forward to the print launch of 1851 Magazine at the IFA convention. Coming up next week, my guest will be Nancy Weingartner, the executive editor of Franchise Times Magazine, followed up the following week by Therese Bilgin from Franchise Update Media Group and Franchise Update Magazine. Two great events as we wrap up the Voices of Franchising series on Franchise Today. And, of course, I always want to thank our very special strategic partner in PR and marketing, Fishman Public Relations. Sherry Brad and Deborah Vilkis have done a great job helping us promote Franchise Today and taking it to new levels since the merger between Franchise Essentials and Franchise Foundry. And, of course, Franchise Today is a production of Franchise Foundry. Looking ahead to March, we'll have a couple of segments on franchise finance, which is always an interesting series, and we'll be announcing guests within the next week or so, as well as two episodes on multi-unit franchising, which will be done in conjunction with the Multi-Unit Franchising Conference in Las Vegas. And then April and May, I am really thrilled and excited that we'll be in our fourth annual Franchise Legal Series. We've expanded from 7 segments to 8 this year, culminating in a recap from the IFA Legal Symposium in Washington, D.C. towards the end of May. So it'll be 8 weeks, just action-packed. Some of the brightest minds in the legal world, specific to franchising, will be my guests. Then in June, we'll have a 2-part series on technology and franchising, followed up with 2 segments on franchise sales and development, leading into our new summer Franchisor Spotlight series. Again, this series is not going to be to promote a brand as much as it is to promote the best practices that emerging brands are using in today's competitive environment. We already have some guests lined up. I'm really thrilled that Dina Dwyer-Holmes will be my guest again on July 11th, and of course she's CEO of the Dwyer Group. Then in the fall, Franchise Today will continue in its quest to have 50 live shows in 2013, and we'll be focusing the entire month of September around the IFA's Leadership and Public Affairs Conference in Washington, D.C., followed by October and November. We'll be focusing around franchise leadership and development in conjunction with the Franchise Update Group's conference in Atlanta, I believe. Yeah, Buckhead, actually. And then also around the West Coast Franchise Expo, we'll be talking about that as well in November, and then December we'll be doing a recap. But anyway, with just less than, let's look at the counter, on the IFA website, 2 days, 12 hours, 55 minutes, and 14 seconds and counting. We're here today with Steve Caldera, the president and CEO of the IFA. Certainly, I appreciate Steve's time today, considering we are just a couple of days away. Steve, welcome again to Franchise Today.
Thanks, Paul. Great to be back.
So where are you right now? Are you in Washington or are you in Vegas yet?
I'm in Washington. I'll be heading out to Vegas, 8 o'clock flight tomorrow out of Dulles. So we've got probably about half our team right there in Vegas at the MGM Grand, making sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. So, we're expecting a great record crowd this year. In fact, the largest crowd we've ever had, Paul, was in February 2007, just prior to the recession kicking in, and that was under Doc Cohen's tenure, 3,086 attendees in February 2007. We budgeted for 3,200 this year, and the latest update I have is we're over 3,400. And the great news, Paul, is that traditionally on-site registration in Vegas averages 239 people. So,
wow.
So we're really excited about that, and I think it speaks to even though we're still facing a lot of economic and public policy headwinds, I think it speaks to the strength of the franchise model. It speaks to the momentum of the association, which I'm very proud of. And while there's always room for improvement, I think the work that our team is doing here in Washington and state capitals around the world, coupled with our media presence both here in Washington on national TV and in print and online around the country, certainly is contributing to that. And I think members are seeing the value add and ROI that they expect and, quite frankly, deserve. Another great highlight is the fact that in 2012 we had the highest revenue ever, membership revenue ever of this association, and we will walk into Las Vegas and the MGM Grand with the most franchisor members in the history of this association, over 1,260. So, I think we're hitting it on all cylinders. Again, there's always room for improvement. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring in terms of new challenges, but I'm really proud of my team and obviously the great support of our volunteer board leaders and, of course, our great supplier partners and sponsors.
Absolutely, and I really think hats off to you, and this is all occurring under your leadership because I really think it resonates well with everybody. On the membership committee, of which I'm a member, my hat goes off to Lane Fisher for all he does, and certainly Paul Rocchio and Scott Lair and everybody else that's on the membership committee. I know it's been a long year, but as you said, we're hitting on all cylinders, and that is great and definitely looking forward to this year's event. If you would, Steve, can you give us some highlights, what we can expect at this year's annual convention?
Sure. Let me just take a step back, though, to your point. Scott Lair and his team, by the way, Scott was recently promoted to Senior Vice President of both U.S. and International Development. So he's responsible for not just the membership, but everything we do from an international standpoint, whether it's our trade missions or the expos that we work on here domestically and internationally. And Paul Rocchio and Greg Cook in advertising have done a clearly great job. And, of course, Lane Fisher, there's only one Lane Fisher. And, of course, he won the first ever Sid Feltenstein Franpac MVP award last year. This is a gentleman that has single-handedly raised a couple hundred thousand dollars over the last couple of years. And so, he's a rock star, in the IFA. And even though he continues to get these accolades, he continues to grind each and every day to be supportive for us. So I want to compliment you for calling that out, and I want to reiterate that. And in terms of what we can expect this year besides record attendance, look, we've got the former Secretary of State under Bush 43, Condoleezza Rice, who obviously gave a great speech at this year's Republican convention, truly a classy lady with incredible public policy and academic experience, known and respected around the world. We've got Joe Scarborough, former congressman, Republican from Florida, who is now part of Morning Joe on MSNBC, and we'll have his partner, Mika Brzezinski, and they continue to have high ratings, and I think everyone would agree it's probably the go-to morning show for those that want to be in the know around public affairs issues. And then lastly, very proud to say we've got Andy Puzder, who's the president and CEO of CKE Restaurants, which is Carl's Jr. and Hardee's. And as you know, he was a top economic advisor to Governor Romney, really a brilliant economic and political mind. and he'll be one of our keynoters and done a heck of a job in turning around those two brands and just really knowledgeable about economic issues. And even though Romney didn't win, I think Andy came out of that campaign with additional respect for his practicality and truly understanding the elements that make this economy work and some of the things we can be doing to make it work a lot better because, you know, obviously we need to improve the situation.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So some of the highlights beyond the keynote speakers, I understand there's a event that's going to kick off and a reason to get to Las Vegas early. That has to do with the Brazilian franchise delegation coming up. And I know you're speaking at that. Can you give us a little insight into that?
Well, look, I think, you know, I was in Brazil at their invitation and went and addressed their annual convention, 650 folks, this past October. You know, we've got 37 U.S. companies doing business in Brazil. Obviously, that's been a country that's had significant economic growth, albeit it's slowed down a bit, as has China. But nonetheless, it's still a growth market. So, you know, we have more and more U.S. franchisors that are interested in Brazil, which is part of the reason why I need to get on the road from time to time and talk about franchising, what we're doing here in the States, how our brands want to do more business internationally. We've got 270 brands now doing business internationally. We continue to do our trade missions with U.S. Commercial Service, which is part of the Department of Commerce. Those have gone extremely well, and we'll continue to do those. And, of course, I sit on the World Franchise Council. Think of the United Nations for franchising, where all my peers mm-hmm. from 48 countries get together and talk about the issues of importance in their countries, not just domestically but globally as it relates to the economy and franchising and so forth. So, you know, that's we'll have a large contingent, as we always do, from Australia and other countries. But I think it speaks to the continued growth, Paul, quite frankly, of franchising. You know, even though we're facing these still challenging economic and public policy headwinds, and I'll get into some of the policies in a minute, you know, we're still scheduled to grow at 2% in terms of new jobs, according to our economic forecast for 2013. That equates to 162,000 new jobs. We're scheduled to grow a little over 10,000 new units based on 1.4% growth. And we'll grow at 4.3% in terms of economic output, and that equates to $33 billion. And I would say within those numbers, you know, the sectors that are driving the growth, which is outpacing the overall U.S. Economy growth, by the way, business services continue to do well. Commercial residential services, QSR is holding steady. Personal services, lodging, real estate. But to really put, I think, that forecast in context, you know, we you know, even though we're growing, it's a slightly slower pace than last year. And I think primarily it can be attributed to three factors. One, income and investment, tax hikes on small businesses that were included in part of that fiscal cliff deal, and the Affordable Care Act, of course, and then costs and regulatory uncertainty, which is associated with the implementation of the new health care law, especially the employer mandate provision of that. And then I think an ongoing, albeit slightly improving, small business lending environment for both existing and prospective franchise business owners. So that's a long answer to your question, but I think they all go together.
I think they do. Just a couple of last facts about the convention. Also, another reason to get to Las Vegas early is to participate in Franchising Gives Back. It's that time once again for IFA convention goers to come together at the second annual Franchising Gives Back. So it's a great way to get the convention off to a start, connect with fellow franchisees on Saturday, February 16th, and help to build a community and enrich lives as they partner up with a local charity in Las Vegas, really a good way of giving back to the community and getting more exposure for the franchise community in general. Also, you know, Steve, we met a couple of years ago as you came on board with the IFA, and I'm honored that you now have been on Franchise Today three times, and certainly within your busy schedule. But, you know, it was that busy schedule that made me really take a long, hard look at the things that I do. And in a very short period of time, you attained your CFE designation. And it really prompted me for years and years. I said, God, I'm so busy. I can't get to this. I can't commit to this. I know I need it. And when I saw you walk across the stage and have that CFE designation in a short period of time, I committed. And I am going to be proud to walk across the stage next week and receive my CFE. And I absolutely, absolutely try to motivate others. Do it. If you haven't yet done it, and you think you know so much about franchising, trust me when I say you will be exposed to so much more. You will go in with your eyes wide open, and afterwards you'll say, I am so thankful I did it, but I really should have done it a long time ago.
Well, you know, first off, I appreciate those comments. And, you know, I think you need to lead by example. I give John Reynolds, the president of our foundation, a lot of credit for sitting down with me very early on in my tenure, which will be 3 years, June 1st. By the way, I don't know where the time goes, but John's done a great job over on the education and professional development side, and he really was the catalyst to say, Steve, think about this. He really deserves the credit. But, you know, I look forward to shaking your hand when you walk across that stage next week, and I hope that others will follow. I mean, CFE, you know, really is the designation that really puts the stamp on professionalism as it relates to your franchise executive career. So we're proud of that. Proud of that program, and I'm so glad that you'll be getting that designation next week.
Yeah, I'll be honored to shake your hand, that's for sure. In a very short period of time, and congratulations to Scott for his promotion. He does a tremendous job, and one that I'd like to personally recognize too is just how much Matt Haller has grown in the last couple of years, and I know you rely on him quite a bit as well, and a lot of the newer comers to the IFA, just a great compliment to the experienced staff that's been there for years. You've put together a great team.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, and as our good friend Hillary Clinton would say, you know, it takes a village, and you know, one of the things our board has allowed me to do is go out there and really recruit the best talent we can find. You know, for the first couple of years, Paul, I'd say, you know, we're fighting above our weight class. And I think it was finally John Luther and Steve Joyce that sat me down and they said, you know, Steve, we were fighting above our weight class, but now we're actually fighting at our weight class. And I would give a lot of credit to Elisa Harrison, our Senior Vice President of Communications and Marketing, who has a great eye for talent, who recruited Matt here. You know, and then if you look at the GR and public policy side, you know, there isn't one person left on the GR side from when I started. And so if you take it from top to bottom, from Judith Thorman, who's worked at the Grocery Manufacturers Association of America, the American Beverage Institute, to Jay Perrin, who was the political director for Senator Roy Blunt for 5 years, Erica Fitzsimmons, like Matt Haller, both worked at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, where they have a political operation that is, you know, really high gear and high level and really sophisticated. So these young folks learned a lot early, and they've really blossomed since they've got to the IFA. And when you think about the fact that over the last 2.5 years, we've grown our political action committee 71%. We are now, I think, in the top 25 business PACs in the United States. When you think, Paul, that there are 4,400 trade associations in this town and around the country, that's a pretty remarkable achievement. You know, we finished the year, our receipts filed with the Federal Election Commission total $1,238,000. We had a goal to get to $1 million by the end of the 2011-2012 election cycle, 13-14 election cycle, and we hit that goal September 4th of last year, 2012. So, you know, and that allows us to really support pro-business, pro-franchising candidates in a bipartisan way, much wider and deeper. And that just allows us to educate folks on the Hill. And there's a lot of turnover on the Hill on both sides of the aisle, as you know.
Sure.
So I can't underestimate, you know, the importance of having a strong political action committee. And then back to the original premise of your question, you know, young folks with a lot of energy and passion and talent like Matt Haller and others, you know, we're on broadcast TV 32 times, not just me, but, you know, volunteer members of our board.
Sure.
Just yesterday we had, Sean Falk, another great franchisee, was on Fox Business, gave testimony yesterday on Capitol Hill, the Small Business Committee. So it's board members, it's emerging leaders, both franchisors, franchisees in our industry. So it's just not me that's out there on TV. It's a wide range of folks that are out there, spreading the message on the importance of franchising and its impact to the U.S. economy. And quite frankly, you know, what some of these onerous, costly, burdensome regulations and laws are going to do to our business and how it's going to make us think differently moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly I love seeing more and more franchisees getting involved. You know how passionate I am about franchise businesses and the whole thing that occurred when I felt American Express left us out of Small Business Saturday. I do tend to get up on the soapbox and scream as loud as I can. But, you know, going back to FranPAC, you know, that's another thing that, again, you lead by example. And just seeing Lane receive his award last year and thinking of the effort that he makes, obviously a person that's extremely busy and just grinds it day in and day out, always willing to help, always for the benefit of franchising, and to see what he was personally responsible in raising for FranPAC, again, I'll say that I'm proud to now be a maximum donor on FranPAC, and it's something that I just didn't understand much before, but it being the effort of some of the leaders in the industry that really resonate long and hard with you when you sit back and you say, what else can I do? So I am excited to be part of that group now as well.
Well, we're excited to have you part of that elite group. And you know what? All of us in some way, directly, indirectly, whether you're a supplier, and obviously if you're a Zor or a Z, you know, we derive our income, and all of us that work here at the IFA derive our income because of franchising. So, you know, I think we, as the years, you know, have gone by, you know, Matt Shea built on Don DeBolt's leadership. I'm building on the great job that Matt did here, and he continues to do a great job at the National Retail Federation. So I think, you know, the IFA continues to grow. If you look also at the folks that sit on our board now, you know, we've got John Luther, you know, one of the best in the business. He chairs both Dunkin' and Arby's. You got Steve Romanello, one of the smartest, brightest financial minds in the business. Roark Capital, I think their portfolio of restaurant-related companies is somewhere around 30, but they also own non-food brands such as Batteries Plus Bulb now, Fast Signs. And then you look at Steve Joyce, CEO of Choice Hotels, 25-year veteran from Marriott, who just got off chairing 2 years of the U.S. Travel Association, where he did a great job. And then you have Melanie Bergeron, you know, the chair of Two Men in a Truck, who's just delightful, really smart, and a lot of street savvy, based out of Michigan. And then you've got, you know, Aziz Hashim, who is one of the best, brightest multi-unit, multi-concept operators in the food service space, who will be coming into the secretary chair. So, you know, it really is, you know, a growing organization in so many ways. And you can't grow and be effective and be strategic without, you know, having those types of folks around you, both at the staff level, board and officer level. And, again, we couldn't do the things we do without the sponsors and the suppliers. And having been on the supplier side, you know, I can tell you how critical they are.
Absolutely. And with you know, like you mentioned about Roark Capital, with so many brands in the food service and now venturing into the non-food service, I'm really happy to see that, because for so many years it seemed like there was this big dividing line between food service, the big brands, and the non-food service, the small brands. And certainly the efforts and results achieved by Dina Dwyer Owens and the Dwyer Group showing that the non-food service side could really be a strong sector as well.
Exactly. And, you know, Dina was just on TV, I think, a couple weeks ago talking about, you know, the effects of the healthcare law, you know, on what that might do for her business and franchising in general. So even though Dina has done her duty as chair and for years on the board and in the chairs to become chair. She continues to be so engaged and such a stalwart supporter on Vet Friend and Mary Kennedy Thompson, who works as part of that Dwyer Group, and President Mr. Reuter. She is just one dynamic individual with a great passion to help veterans, and she leads by example. So, you know, there's just so many people. You know, an hour is not enough to go through them all, but. You know,
no,
to the pack for a minute. You know, it's other folks too. You look at the Ron Feldmans, the Brad Fishmans, the Mark Tickenkamps, and you know, all the folks that are out there from the supplier side that have really, really worked hard with Lane and others of the President's Council. Shelley Sun, you know, Shelley Sun chaired our dues task force review this past year. She's been very involved in the companion care legislation on the Hill with her team, and she was with us last week, and I think this is important to know because I do think it speaks to where the IFA is today. You know, I sent out a CEO update to the membership earlier today, Paul, and there are three buckets that I talked about, and one was that franchise leaders met with the White House, Health and Human Services, Treasury, SBA, to urge flexibility, you know, on this health care law, the Affordable Care Act, as they call it. And, you know, we shared our concerns with several aspects of the law, you know, there, such as the 30-hour definition of a full-time employee, how full-time equivalent versus full-time employees are calculated to determine if employers reach the 50-employee threshold, you know, when the mandate kicks in, and the potentially devastating consequences on employer premiums. So, you know, and we continue to have subsequent meetings at the staff level. And I can tell you just last week, you know, again, very proud to represent IFA, but, you know, in the White House again to meet with a select group of business leaders. And this meeting was hosted by Valerie Jarrett, you know, senior advisor to the president. There was eight of us around a table from the business world. And also at the meeting was Gene Sperling, the President's National Economic Council Director, Alan Krueger, the Chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, among others. And so the relationships, Paul, that we have developed with the administration officials, you know, I think has resulted in our opinions being sought at the highest levels on a broad range of critical topics to us as an industry. And I think as immigration reform talk heats up, we'll continue to have that seat at the table. You know, our GR department continues to meet, you know, with senators and House members in key positions as it relates to immigration reform. And then the last thing I'd say that I mentioned in the CEO update, and as the president mentioned in his State of the Union address earlier this week, that I think note that both the administration leaders and both parties agree that comprehensive tax reform should be pursued in 2013. So we continue to meet with senior members in the House Ways and Means Committee, as well as the Senate Finance Committee chaired by Max Baucus, you know, to encourage a really comprehensive approach to tax reform. So while the parties differ, I think, on their approaches about how to accomplish this, the fact is we have a seat at the table as it relates to tax reform as well. So I think in that regard, you know, IFA has joined you know, with the accounting firm and IFA member BDO, where we're going to analyze the impact of various changes in the tax code and their potential impact on the franchising model. So we're going to look at both the effects of, you know, the pass-through entities. 80% of our members are pass-throughs, LLCs, partnerships. They have to file their business profits on their personal tax return, and that's why those individual rates are so important. And, of course, we have C-Corp members and franchisors. So, again, you know, I've been out there, we've been out there talking about the need, the importance of corporate tax reform to be important as we want to become more important in the global economy, more effective, more competitive. But it can't come on the backs of the small business community. So those are three areas just in the last couple of weeks where we've had significant action and presence here in Washington, and quite frankly, those are the things that you need to be doing. Those are things that I'm proud of, and I will tell you, folks in this town have taken notice of what this association is doing.
That has been that's an exceptional recap over the last few weeks. We're franchised today. We're live today. Franchise in 2013, the IFA Perspective. My guest is IFA President and CEO Steve Caldera, just days ahead of the IFA convention in Las Vegas. Steve, let's turn a little bit towards the policy platform. And
sure.
A lot of people, obviously are concerned with the future of operating businesses. We just heard this past week the other day in the State of the Union address about the proposal for a $9 minimum wage. We know about the health care mandate. If you can, take us through the IFA's franchise policy platform.
Well, sure. I mean, let me start with, I just talked about comprehensive tax reform. I think talked about health care, so I think, again, the reason we'll start with taxes. So I think, again, it's got to be a comprehensive approach. One can't come at the expense of the other. Right. So given the makeup of our membership. So, we already had tax rates go up on the top 2%. But what you don't hear folks talking about is, the top 2%, Paul, represents 941,000 businesses, according to Ernst & Young. So it's not like these are multi-billionaires walking around that make 400,000 individuals or 450,000 as joint filers. These are the folks that can really scale and have the track record and performance history, which is why that individual rate piece is so important. Healthcare, look, it's the law. We have to live with it. And so we got to cut around the edges, and we got to see if we can find ways to mitigate the onerous and costly aspects of this for our members. So we're going to continue to work that piece. I think I had mentioned, that our conversation with the White House was on the definition of full-time employees. There's a huge difference between having 50 full-time equivalent employees as opposed to 50 full-time employees, and that would give us some more flexibility. And then the definition on full-time employees, has gone from 40 hours to 30 hours, so that could potentially have, a negative effect on how, we do business. And that could mean the difference for some of our folks, Paul, staying in business or going out of business or making the decision not to expand. As it relates to immigration reform, which is part of our public policy platform, look, we oppose any enforcement-only approach, I'd say there. I think one of the important things to note is that the service sector, franchise service sector jobs will grow, 1.5 times as fast as the overall U.S. labor force. And, we've got 11 million undocumented people residing in this country. We know we've got 7 million that are employed in our economy today. And so you know this as well as everyone else. Yeah, they're not going to self-deport, and neither deportation is realistic as well. So I think, and especially given the makeup of a big segment of our industry with hotels and restaurants, we've got to find a workable solution. And so I think if we can get to a place and, we agree with the framework that the bipartisan group of 8 senators put through, and while there's a lot of details that haven't been decided yet, I think that the basic framework is a step forward towards, much-needed reform. And we'll continue to try to generate public support around that because we've got to meet the need for lower-skilled workers in this country to meet the forecasted demand for growth in our industry. And that's still with an unemployment rate, Paul, around, 8%. So, immigration reform is going to be, top of mind, and I think the president's on a fast track there. But I think, that might be one of the areas that we can make some headway for a change in this town around bipartisan agreement. And again, I think criminal background checks should be part of anything we do, as is required for illegal immigrants. And obviously, payment of any fines or taxes, and we should have, some kind of confirmation, I would say, towards progress towards English proficiency before we might grant any type of permanent legal status. In terms of workforce policy, we're part of the management committee of the Coalition for Democratic Workplace, which is a group of about 600 companies and trade associations. And so we're one of 10 on the management committee. We've worked very hard as part of that lawsuit, which was just thrown out, in terms of the recess appointments that the president made. So there's a lot in doubt about whether a lot of these decisions that that board made, because the lack of an official quorum, if you will, when those decisions were made. But, you know, they've been working on things like micro unions, where one or two people could start a union if they were in within an organization. You know, the ambush election rule, where they move up the time frame for an election. The poster rule, that would really be an advertisement for unions that you would have to place in the workplace. So, and then, of course, we pushed back card check, which was called the Employee Free Choice Act, which essentially wanted to take away the private, the secret ballot in union elections. And, of course, you know, we all go into the voting booth every election, and we pull the curtain and we do a private ballot. So why should it be any different when you vote for a union? So we've had great success there, but I can tell you, you know, the unions are losing members, and they're going to do everything they can to stop that flow. And while they've got a president that might be sympathetic to their agenda, we're going to have our hands full. So we're going to continue to keep the pedal to the metal to work against some of the promulgation of ideas and proposed rules and legislation by the NLRB. And then again, I talked about small business lending. It has improved over the last couple of years. You know, we've done two very successful small business lending summits here in Washington, where we've gotten together with our friends in the lending community to bring greater awareness. Just this past week, I had the opportunity, as you know, Karen Mills from the SBA announced her intention to leave after four-plus years as SBA administrator. Karen personally called me on Monday morning to let me know that a press release was just about to go out announcing her resignation, and that she would stay on board until a successor has taken her place. She has just been truly a bright light in this administration. Sure. And I got to tell you, you know, when we went into this financial crisis and commercial credit dried up, and then you had Dodd-Frank, which was passed. And I think, look, we all know we needed to have some tighter financial regulations in this country. Mm-hmm. Some would argue that some of the regulators might have been overzealous in their pursuit of a tighter control and monitoring of, you know, the banking industry. So that really led to banks becoming more risk averse. So when that happened and commercial credit dried up, and it was really difficult, Paul, for the aspiring entrepreneur, the aspiring franchisee with no track record, no performance history, the SBA really became a lifeline for the franchise industry. And it's important to note that SBA is huge for our industry. We do 10% of the loan volume out of SBA and 7% of the loan dollars. So that's how significant the SBA is to the franchising industry. So, you know, Karen Mills and her great team over there, Marie Johns, who just announced she's leaving as well, her deputy, Jonathan Swain, her chief of staff, deserve great credit. And we just hope that someone gets in there and does the same kind of job with the same kind of passion that Karen did. Last thing I'd say on our public policy platform is that we'll continue to push in this new Congress to reintroduce the Help Veterans-Owned Franchises Act. Last year, we had Senator Bob Casey, Democrat of Pennsylvania, Congressman Aaron Schock, Republican from Illinois, introduced that bill, which would essentially give a tax credit to the franchisor of up to 25% of a franchise fee, not to go higher than $100,000, to get more veterans involved in franchising. And again, that segues right into our VetFran and Operation Enduring Opportunity Initiative. You know that on Veterans Day 2011, we made a commitment as part of the Joining Forces initiative with the First Lady Michelle Obama and Dr. Jill Biden and our friends at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and their Hiring Our Heroes program, which they promote job fairs, about 800 job fairs they'll do around the country this year, to hire and recruit as team members and small business franchise owners, 75,000 veterans, military spouses, and 5,000 wounded warriors by the end of 2014. Well, our study that was conducted by the very respected franchise firm, Franchise Business Review, came out and said that we had hired just under 65,000 veterans and 4,314 new veteran franchisees in the first year of that commitment. So I'm very confident we're going to break that milestone at some point in the first 6 months, 9 months of this year, and we'll have some great stuff to talk about on Veterans Day in 2013. And then lastly, I want to give some kudos to two organizations. Last week, Edible Arrangements made a $125,000 grant contribution to VetFran. They've been a longstanding member. I've hired a lot of veterans, not just corporately, but I also have veteran franchisees. And then the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Capital One Bank, which is also a new member. We've got 35 new bank members since we started our access to credit issues and campaign. And they just committed $1,000 for every veteran, for every 1,000 veterans that we hire and recruit as owners and franchisees. So they just made an $80,000 commitment to us, and that's in this fiscal year as well. So, you know, we've got great momentum on the public policy front. And but, you know, we have a lot of challenges, Paul, and, you know, those take resources.
Right. You know, as you were running through it and mentioning, you know, so many great
I'm sorry to ramble so much, Paul, but there's just
a lot
going on. And, you know, once I get on my soapbox, you know, it just starts to spiel. But it just goes to show you what's
great.
On our plate.
I think it's great. There's so many people that are unaware, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to help spread this word around. You know, you mentioned so many great people in franchising, and we definitely could not list them all in an hour, certainly. And, boy, I wish we could franchise the energy of some of these people, you know, the Lane Fishers and the Brad Fishmans and the Ron Feldmans and certainly Doc Cohen. I mean, the contribution that he made.
Yeah, fantastic.
Just absolutely blew me away, and he's so humble about it. It's just my hat's off to individuals like that, and certainly make me proud to be in, as I often say, this great thing we refer to as franchising.
Well, you know, look at you're absolutely right. Doc, first off, anybody that knows Doc loves Doc, and he's so respected in this organization, this industry. And for those listeners out there that may not be aware of what you're talking about, Doc just made a $300,000 personal contribution to IFA's Educational Foundation, where we have now created the Doc Cohen Scholarship Award and Foundation in his name. And we'll continue to give out scholarships to those that want to get involved in franchising and help in that way. So, he leads by example. He's very generous,
yep.
Very smart man, and I'm really pleased that you call that out.
You know, it's individuals, you know, like Doc and Dina Dwyer Owens, and you hear about these people that, quote-unquote, put in the time. And yet they continue afterwards. And some people would say, oh, they just can't let go. And I'm like, these people are just so passionate about it that they just want to keep growing with it and bring more people on and on and on. A lot of times, you know, you hear about, you know, people that lead associations. Once they're done, it's like this big sigh of breath coming out of them and say, okay, I did my due. And, you know,
yep.
With Ken Walker and Dina and Doc. And, I mean, it's just Steve Greenbaum. It's just fantastic. And these are the people, and I've said this before, and I know Steve blushes about this. You know, here's somebody that's leading a very successful franchise organization. All the fanfare going along with his appearance and experience with CBS Undercover Boss.
Yep.
And yet, I still marvel at the fact that I was at the Leadership and Development Conference in Buckhead, Georgia last October, and who's sitting in the front row asking questions and taking notes? Steve Greenberg.
Well,
it's remarkable.
Well, you know, that's what I think. You know, look, I've worked for the National Restaurant Association, and of course, you know, Dunkin' Brands and at PepsiCo, mm-hmm. and all integrated into franchising in some way. And one of the unique things about the franchise industry that I have found remarkable is that there may be folks that are competitors in the same space or segment, Paul, but their willingness to share best practices. When I see Fred DeLuca walking around, you know, the founder of Subway, walking around the floor of the convention or hosting a round table, you know, with 8-10 folks at a table, and these could be young franchisees or franchisees of any age for that matter, or emerging franchisors that just want to be able to pick the brain of such an astute and successful businessman like Fred. And you think of the Jim Amoses of the world, the Sid Feltensteins, the folks that are really iconic in this industry, that give back in so many ways, and all of them are so committed to helping people, and not just people that are outside their space, but could be in their space. And that's the uniqueness, I think, of our industry, of our association. And you know, just it's really gratifying to see, and part of what makes this industry so special.
Yeah, I chuckled to myself when you mentioned Fred DeLuca, and I was glad you mentioned his name, because too many times we kind of push that back. It's like, well, that's yesterday. And a couple of years ago, a few years ago, when the IFA convention was in San Antonio, Fred showed up at the first tweet up that was being put together, and he wanted to learn about Twitter. And that just blows me away, because, you know, does he need to at this point?
No, Fred doesn't need to. Flicka. Let's face it, you know, and Fred's earned it. Fred doesn't have to do anything Fred doesn't want to do, but the fact that
exactly.
he comes to the convention every year, the fact that he continues to be a Franpac Max donor, you know, the fact that he will saunter into our board meeting and he doesn't have to, and sit and listen and just observe and really, you know, try to stay abreast of what's going on is why he's Fred. And you know, anytime you can have a guy like Fred, who doesn't have to be anywhere he doesn't want to be, and he continues to show up at our events and to support people that want to be successful in franchising, you have to just be, you know, inspired by that and gratified by it, and tip your hat to him,
and
God bless him. That's what I say. And we're just grateful he's part of our family.
Yeah, it is great. And my hat's off to him as well. You know, for many years, there's been this perception that franchising, that it was almost, you know, MLM-ish, scam-ish. It was always these negative connotations that seemed to rise up. And I think what's been going on over the last few years, and Matt Shea's credit, and definitely your credit, getting franchising more in the limelight on the political side certainly has been great. And certainly franchising being in the spotlight with national shows like CBS Undercover Boss and ABC's Shark Tank. I know one of our clients, Sub-Zero Ice Cream, was on Shark Tank a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, Be the Boss. That's really got to make you smile as the leader of the franchise industry, because – it really is bringing franchising into a positive light to the general public that really had some misperceptions about franchising.
Well, you know, it's a great point. And, you know, whether it was Dina Dwyer Owens, or it was Shelley Sun, or Steve Joyce, or, God, I think we've probably had close to 15 or 20
yep.
Joe DePinto from 7-Eleven. And when you roll the tape all the way back to the beginning, to more recent folks that have been on, you know, that has put franchising in a different light. And, you know, these are all bright, smart people that have opened up their companies, opened up themselves.
Yeah.
Admitted where maybe they could have done things differently, but learned from it. And I think that has really humanized our industry, but also shown a great sense of professionalism within our industry. And so I definitely think that's helped. And again, when you get folks, you know, the Steve Greenbaums of the world, one really bright, strategic guy, and Shelley Sun, who's just so dynamic and grown her business incredible lengths in such a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
These are the folks that you just say, God, you know, I'm really so pleased and gratified and grateful that they're part of our industry. And, you know, look, we're blessed. But we need these types of folks, Paul. We need a big,
yep.
strong pack, and we need great, talented people on our staff, and we need a volunteer, engaged board like we have, and officer corps like we have, and incredible supplier partners like we have. You know, we now have over 700 supplier members of the IFA. That's another all-time record. So, you know, again, speaking to the engagement of our industry has never been greater from a membership standpoint, from a advocacy standpoint, from a public awareness media standpoint, and the programs and services that we've offered have never been more important or as widespread as we offer today. And that speaks to the incredible support that this board has given me and my team to do the things that we need to do to be to remain relevant, increasingly relevant, cutting edge, innovative, and out front. You know, creating programs, a new initiative like Fran Social, which is our online community where members can engage, you know, from the in the social media space, so we can try to get out front of that. We'll have our first ever technology conference in Atlanta in May called FranCamp, where we'll bring all these social media issues to the forefront and how companies can leverage and engage all the various tools, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or Fran Social or, you know, the whole plethora of different tools that we offer or others offer. You know, Google is now a member of the IFA. So, you know, think about where we were a couple of years ago, where we are today. You know, we'll be co-hosting a webinar with Google. I mean, just think about that for a minute.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's programs like that and initiatives like that we're going to continue to look at so we can continue to provide, you know, the value add that our folks are looking for, our members are looking for. So, you know, I'm excited about it. But again, you can never rest because tomorrow's going to be different than today. We had, you know, on our annual report, which you'll see, Paul, at the convention, you know, it says persevering and succeeding in challenging times. And, you know, in my speech, I'll say, you know, look, we had measurable progress to report in 2012, but 2013 is a new year with new challenges. So we got to reboot, we got to recalibrate, and we got to stay focused. And I can guarantee you, as long as I'm sitting in this chair, the focus is going to remain steadfast, diligent, proactive, and, you know, we're going to continue to fight and claw our way to represent and protect this great industry.
And it is a great industry, and it is so nice to see it in the limelight in a positive sense and being recognized as such, and to clear up some of the misperceptions that have been out there. Some of them still remain, but through education and exposure, I'm sure we're definitely making headway. And as we lead into the last few minutes on the air, Steve, you know, being on the membership committee as I am and trying to drive, you know, new membership and people that have, you know, spun out from membership and trying to get them back. And also with the work that I'm doing as a leader at Franchise Foundry, working with emerging brands, you know, one of the things that I find on both sides of that situation is that, you know, dealing with some of these newer brands, ones that are startup, that I feel, and I know you agree, and so many others in franchise agree, they would get so much out of IFA membership. And yet, we can't seem to budge them to the point. They never seem like, well, I'll wait till I get 10 units. I'll wait till I have a little bit more success. What do you say as the leader of the IFA to those people that I think, and as we talked about the young people coming in and the bright minds coming in, and Nick Powell's and I talked about that at length the other day on a special edition of Franchise Today, how do we make that push to get them to realize that, you know, get in now and grow with it? And I know some have. I mean, I know Shelley Sun talks about that in her book and talked about that on the air with me a couple of times. But we still have this perception that I'm not yet ready for the IFA. What do you say to those people?
Well, you know, I had a boss at PepsiCo. He's now the CEO of ConAgra, Gary Rotkin, and he used to say, you know, good alone, better together. And what I would say is, look, we need to keep the pedal to the metal through all of our communications vehicles, online, print, all of the conferences and meetings that we do. We need to continue to rely on our board and our volunteer members to spread the word. And I think, I think there's a reason, Paul, that we're now at record membership numbers and revenue, because more people are understanding the value of IFA. But yet there are still folks that quite don't get it for whatever the reason. But, there are less of those people today than there were 3 years ago.
Absolutely.
So my point is, I think we're doing a better job. We got to continue to do the job we're doing, and we got to figure out ways to do it better and convince them that it's worth the investment for the long. It may hurt them in the short term. Every dollar is important. I know that for that aspiring new franchisee. I get it. Trust me. But at the same time, we got to do a better job of making them understand. And I think we've done a good job, but there's always room for improvement. That making that investment to become a member, there's so many benefits. Think of the friendship program that John Rocci created a couple of years ago, working with Paul Rocchio on Scott Lair's team. The mentorship program. Melanie Bergeron's been very engaged with that. And these are folks that are busy people, but yet
right.
It speaks to your earlier point, which is so true, that our folks continue to give back in so many ways. So, look, I just think we've got to keep doing what we're doing and do more of it and keep doing it, try to strive to do better. And, hopefully those membership numbers continue to go up. But, I wouldn't say the sky's falling, Paul. Look, we've got great momentum. So, but there's still a lot of runway out there, and there's a lot of stretch to grow the membership and to get more resources here. And I just think, we got to stay focused. And if we do that, we'll continue to get more members. And hopefully the folks that are on the fence, for whatever the reason, will see the light and get on board and get engaged.
Well, I certainly thank you for your time today, Stephen. We mentioned and shouted out to a lot of different people in franchising. They've been so instrumental to the success in franchising. But I think I might be remiss in not mentioning one small group of people that without their commitment and support, we might not be as in such a good position today. And I think those kudos go out to your wife and family, because I know you put so much into this. And without their support, I don't see how it would be possible.
Well, that's really very nice of you to say. And, I'll be honest with you, it's not always easy. I do travel a lot in this job. My wife, Jane, I have my daughter, Madeline's 13. She's in 8th grade. My son, Alex, is in 11. He's 11. He's in 6th grade. And, I try to make as many basketball games and, softball games as it relates to my daughter and my son's baseball games and my daughter's piano and flute recitals, and my son plays the violin. But Jane carries the burden there, and it's just not domestic travel in this job, it's international travel. But it is what it is. It's this association has been so good for me, this industry so good for me and my family. There are trade-offs in life, and
sure.
And that's why you just have to have great people around you and the support, both at home and in the workplace and on the board. And look, I'm blessed to be in this job. It's one of the best jobs. I think if you do what folks like me do, there isn't a better seat, many better opportunities in this town to work for such a great trade association. So we may not be the size of Farmer or the U.S. Chamber, but I'll tell you what, pound for pound, we're as effective as any trade association in town.
Yeah.
And but your comments are great. I appreciate, Paul, the fact that you give so much to our membership committee. And because of this program, you have become such a great ambassador for franchising. We owe you a debt of gratitude. So thank you, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for your sacrifices and your commitment and your passion. And also thanks to your family. Franchise Today will be broadcasting live next week. I'll still be in Las Vegas talking with Nancy Weingartner. Until then, I wish you the very best in this great, great thing we refer to as franchising. Franchise Today is out.